Good morning. I'm Tom Fitzsimmons. Thanks for joining us this Thursday morning. Time for our final newscast. Let's head right to the newsroom to Rita Stevens. Good morning, Rita.
Good morning. Thank you. And we are joining our Congressman Tom McClintock by telephone to answer some questions that some of our listeners have submitted. So, Congressman, thanks for being with us.
Oh, it's my pleasure, Rita. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you. You know, it was kind of interesting to see what kind of questions we got for you. I had asked on Tuesday for listeners to submit them. And one of them comes from Tom Sheehy. He says, the Bush tax cuts have increased the budget deficit, shifted the tax burden from the rich to the middle and working classes, and further increased already high levels of income inequality. To date, the Bush tax cuts have failed to spur the hiring of unemployed Americans, which proponents argue is its primary purpose. His question, do you oppose a reasonable compromise that would both reduce government spending and the elimination of the Bush tax cuts?
Well, I guess first we ought to get our facts straight. It's not true that the burden was shifted. The top 1% bracket of income tax filers, which, by the way, begins at $380,000, they earn about 20% of all income in the country. They pay 38% of all income taxes. If you go to the top 5%, that begins at $160,000. They earn 35% of all income. They pay 58% of all income taxes. So to say that the rich don't pay their fair share is absurd. What is correct is that some rich are able to take advantage of a variety of tax loopholes, and that's why we need a flatter and lower and broader tax, which is precisely what House Republicans proposed in the Ryan budget. Second, with respect to the folly of raising taxes in the middle of recession, I believe Barack Obama was right back in August of 2009 when he said the last thing you want to do is to raise taxes in the middle of a recession, because that would just take more demand out of the economy and put businesses in a further hole. He was right then. He's wrong now. Revenues are important, but there's a healthy and an unhealthy way to generate them. The healthy way is to reduce the burdens that excessive spending and regulations are placing on the economy, and to produce new revenues by economic growth. Prosperity is really the only true source of revenue. The unhealthy way is to try to exact additional taxes from a very brittle economy that's already faltering. Remember, California tried solving its budget deficit back in 2009. Remember the tax increases we had in April 2009? They were the biggest single tax increase ever imposed by any state in American history. That was supposed to solve our budget deficit. Instead, it made the budget deficit worse because of the impact it had on the economy. It actually generated less total revenues after the tax increase than before, and produced higher unemployment to boot. That's what's the most dangerous thing about the president's tax proposal, is it's not just on millionaires and billionaires. More than 75% of net small business income would be subject to this tax at just the time when we're depending on them to produce 2/3 of the new jobs that our economy desperately needs. That's simply insane.
Yes. Well, let me cut you off here. I have another question to get to. Thank you for answering the first one. This one is kind of to a special group. They're called luthiers, who make string musical instruments, and there's about a half a dozen shops doing sales and repairs of these instruments. Apparently, there are some federal amendments that were made in 2008 to the 100-year-old Lacey Act that prevents imports of harvested woods.
Yeah.
And this is affecting some of our local commerce, people who work with some of these instruments, and basically could be breaking the law if they continue their trade. What do you say for them? Do you support the Lacey Relief Act?
Oh, I support getting rid of it. That I believe is the same law that's at the root of the Obama administration's raid on Gibson guitar. Even though the woods were imported legally from India under Indian law, the Lacey Act says that they have to be processed by native workers. What Gibson and these other companies are doing is importing these woods, again, with the blessing of the country of origin, in this case, India. And it's our federal government that's saying, oh, no, you can't have Americans process that wood. That wood has to be processed by natives in India. That is absolutely insane.
So you are supporting the Lacey Relief Act.
Get rid of it,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay, all right, well, thanks. And I didn't mention that question was submitted by Chuck Erickson. Thanks for that. I'll tell you, we have some real estate personnel and realtors here in the county that are kind of encouraged by a Kiplinger report that's come out today. What's ahead for home prices in 2012? I don't know if you've seen it yet, but it looks a little encouraging. Although the median home price in the U.S. has plunged nearly 40%, they say, in over the 5 years, the worst is definitely over. Kiplinger is predicting that the market has finally wrung out the last excess valuations born of the housing bubble, so that we're kind of getting down to an area of stability. What are you seeing in Washington?
Well, I certainly hope that's true. The concern that I have is that that is reflecting a true bottoming out of the market, and not the impact of the Federal Reserve's actions that have more than doubled the monetary base of the country in the last several years. There's more than twice as many dollars out there now as there were just 2 years ago. Now, we all know that if there's a bumper crop of apples, and there are twice as many apples in the market as there were 2 years ago, the value of apples will drop precipitously. We now have the same situation with dollars, which we see as inflation. So I just hope that rising housing prices are a reflection of the housing market finally bottoming out, rather than the inflationary policies of this administration.
Yeah, well, we know California, Nevada, Arizona, we're the states really hard hit, so it's probably recovery going to be a little bit slower for us. But hopefully that's some encouraging news.
It's a rule of thumb. The more severe the recession, the more dramatic the rebound. That's been true of every recession except for this one, and I'm afraid it's because of excessive intervention that has actually prolonged our economic distress.
Well, speaking of distress, we have wastewater treatment plants in Colfax, wastewater treatment plants in Cascade Shores that are facing excessive fines. I know you spoke on the floor about this, calling it the plunder of Colfax.
Mm-hmm.
But is there any relief coming for these regulations that are really causing a lot of excess cost for property owners to get wastewater treatment plants?
Oh, yes. As a matter of fact, the same day that I gave that speech, I introduced a comprehensive bill that we've been working with Colfax and a number of other municipalities that are facing exactly the same problems. It's not just limited to Colfax, although Colfax has just been absolutely plundered dry by this predatory litigation. But essentially, what's going on is that you have these environmental law firms that come in. They demand every document pertaining to the water treatment plant from the date that it was constructed. They pore over those documents. They look for any possible violation. By law, those documents have to include self-monitoring reports by the water agency itself.
Right. Yeah.
Any violation gives that law firm the ability to charge all of their attorney's fees to the town, and this kind of plunder is now going on across the West.
Is there any legislation on the brink that will bring some relief for this?
Well, yeah, again, the legislation that I've introduced will do exactly that. It does basically six things. It limits private party lawsuits to issues that are actually significant rather than just harmless paperwork errors. It shields local agencies from liability for acts that are beyond their control, for example, an act of God. Third, it
gotta cut you short.
Okay.
I'm seeing we're wrapping up.
It'll
here.
Do lots of good stuff, and we'll take care of the problem of towns like Colfax.
We'll look it up. Just one more thing, real quickly. I want to mention we have Nevada Union High School senior Morgan Harvey, who's been selected for the from the state of California, go to Washington for the U.S. Senate Youth Program. She's going to be there March 3rd. So I hope you get a chance to say hi.
Great. Look forward to it.
Thanks for being with us, Congressman Tom McClintock.
Thanks, Rita.
KNCO News Time, 8:51. We're going to take a break, come back and play our game, Who Can It Be?